Good morning and greetings to all of you. Thank you for joining us. So today we have the second in the series of encyclicals on the Rosary by Pope Leo XIII. The last one was titled Supremi Apostolatus Officio, the Supreme Apostolic Office, that was dated 1883. And so this talk is titled Superiore Anno, dated 1884. And it just means in Latin, last year. So that's how the Pope started the encyclical. He started it with a reminder. First of all, this talk will be shorter than the last time. I didn't realize I spoke for 45 minutes last time. It's actually not a very big encyclical because the Pope was edified by the response of Catholics to his appeal to pray the Rosary. So in this talk, in this encyclical, 1884, Superiore Anno, he reminded everyone that he had done this. He had asked everyone to say the Rosary for the month of October to honor Our Lady so that we could win the help of heaven for the Church. And he was he noted with happiness the enthusiasm with which Catholics responded. And he actually said in his encyclical, "It is more than ever apparent how real is the religion and how great is the fervor of the Christian people and how great is the trust everywhere placed in the heavenly patronage of the Virgin Mary." It was a great consolation to him in the face of the many difficulties he was facing then from anti-Christian governments. You may remember that in 1870, there was the great reunification of Germany by Bismarck, the Chancellor Bismarck. And Bismarck in the beginning was of Protestant origins and he was very anti-Catholic. And so the Church had many difficulties negotiating with him. And this is one of the things that the Holy Father was talking about. But it turned out Bismarck was amenable to reason. He ended up restoring to Catholics many, many rights and freedoms that he had taken away at that time. So the situation for the Church became a lot easier in Germany. And so the Holy Father, however, had to deal with that situation. He had also to deal with the situation in Italy. 1861, when there was a civil war going on here, Garibaldi started his campaign to unite all of Italy. And it turned out his principles were all socialist, and he was being used actually by the House of Savoy, which was an aristocratic house. They were using him to do that, fight their battles for him, fight those battles for them, so that they could finally take charge, and which is what they successfully did. If you could look up the name, the Count Cavour of Italy at the time, he was kind of like the mastermind behind the strategy for the House of Savoy. But all these things mean that the Church was losing her freedom in many places, and she was being kind of boxed in. Catholics were not allowed to fully practice their religion. And another consequence is most of the principles behind those who were doing this were if not socialist outright, they were the precursor of modern socialism. And essentially what it means is socialism is very closely related to Marxism and communism. And the idea is to turn against God and to build a kind of paradise on earth. But man cannot do it. We, each of us, are finite and limited. And even if we put our heads together, we are unable to do that. It's actually, after all that God has given us throughout history, we should really know this is impossible. I should also point out one of the other things weighing on the Holy Father's mind was the situation in South America, because that's when all of the South American countries, one after the other, were fighting for their own independence from the Spanish crown. And we have now the situation you see today in South and Central America, extreme amounts of poverty and so on. And that's why they're trying to come into this country. But it's... it's the result of this kind of socialism that we have the situation we are in now. It was this response of Catholics was a great consolation to the Holy Father. And so in 1884, he renews his exhortation. He asks that Catholics continue to pray the rosary with piety and devotion to merit the powerful patronage of the Great Mother of God. Now, this is where, if you read this encyclical, there's just one point if you want to take home. This is the point. Inasmuch as the enemies of Christianity are so stubborn in their aims, its defenders must be equally staunch, especially as the heavenly help and the benefits which are bestowed on us by God are the more usually the fruits of our perseverance. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's been the case throughout history. You can remember Lepanto and all the great Christian battles. It was by persevering in prayer that our Lord deigned to ask Our Lady to give us these victories. And so the Pope goes to the Old Testament and calls upon the example of the widow Judith. Judith, he says, curbed the ill-judged impatience of the Jews when they attempted to fix, according to their own judgment, the day appointed by God for the deliverance of his city. Now, you know, the Assyrian general Holofernes was besieging a Jewish city which was in the north of Israel. And in this situation, the leaders, the political leaders of the city, became scared enough to want to sign a kind of peace with him so that he would leave their city alone. And this is where Judith said that it would be better not to tempt God in this way. You mean you will not have true peace if you sign such an agreement. And so she went and took care of the problem herself. If you remember, she cut off his head. So the Pope also reminds us of the example of the apostles. The apostles prayed with Our Lady in the upper room while waiting the promised Holy Spirit. And so he says, and that was really the epiphany of the church. Just as our Lord had his birth and epiphany, the church also has her birth at Mount Calvary on Good Friday and her epiphany at Pentecost when Peter went out with all of the apostles, leading them and giving that great, and you can clearly tell he was no longer a frightened, timid man running away. He was now emboldened by the Holy Spirit, giving the great first, you can say, sermon of the church. So the Pope's purpose is to stand firm against the attacks of the devil. And so Catholics all over, actually starting from the French Revolution, 1789 or so, have been losing their freedoms everywhere in almost every formerly Catholic society. And today it is sad to see, but the church has been losing ground so much that it is the formerly Catholic countries that are, morally speaking, the worst in the world. So the exhortation of the Pope from that time is still valuable to us today. He recommends devotion to Our Lady by praying the Holy Rosary, particularly because it is a prayer that brings to mind all the mysteries of our salvation. We have to pray not only for our own salvation, but also for that of the world, for all those around us, especially starting with our own families. So he asked for the same devotions as the previous year, the Rosary, along with the Litany of Our Lady in the month of October. He said it could be done with Mass in the morning or benediction in the evening. He also asked for processions in honor of Our Lady by the confraternity of the Holy Rosary. And what he did was he also renewed all the indulgences that he had granted the previous year. Now, he granted partial indulgences to those who performed the devotions even once, even at home, not necessarily by coming to church. They performed the devotions, the rosary and the litanies, and prayed for the Sovereign Pontiff. He also granted plenary indulgences to those who performed the devotions at least 10 times, again, whether at church or at home. They also had to pray for the Pope, confess their sins, and receive communion. So those who fulfill these conditions on the Feast of the Holy Rosary or the 8 days after it could also receive the plenary indulgence. Borne by Our Lady's responses to dire situations in the history of the Church, The Pope ended on a confident note that persevering in our prayers, seeking the intercession of our Mother, our Lord will surely lead us to victory. He says, "May our heavenly patroness, invoked by us through the Rosary, graciously be with us and obtain that all disagreements of opinion being removed and Christianity restored throughout the world, we may obtain from God the wished for peace in the Church." And that's the end of this talk, hopefully not 45 minutes. The next encyclical will be from the one from 1885, Quod Auctoritate, What by Our Authority.